Okay, I'm back. This is the show called The Tasmanian Devils, How to Not Get Screwed. The full name actually is How to Not Get Screwed by Anybody, Anytime, Anywhere, About Anything. But the producers, Don and Doug at BBS Radio, a pair of twins, so they kind of think together, have formed a quorum and decided that it's too long. Seth, who's the producer, we're trying to teach him how to count backwards from 5 to 1, and he hasn't made it in the first 2 shows. I'm not sure if he made it today. Anyway, on co-hosting, is that the word, with me is Eric Keyes from beautiful downtown Texas. Eric, say hello.
Hello there, that's Denton, Texas.
Well, now that you've identified where you're at, they can come get you.
Uh-oh.
Now, we're going to try and make this as unboring as possible. If I can only find my notes, which I had somewhere, let me find them. Oh, this show is broadcast number 3, and it is entitled The Ultimate Screwing, The Ultimate Screwing of Every American. Now, the show being called How Not to Get Screwed should start off 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago with our show number 1 or maybe our show number 2 with the biggest screwing of all. But I decided to hold off till we had a co-host in Eric.
All right.
I'm going to ask you a trick question. What do you think, knowing me, that I would think is the worst thing in the world that I or any American could possibly be screwed out of?
I would say their freedom? Money?
No. That's up there. But actually, your life. There are a whole bunch of people out there referred to as they or them. Nobody knows who they or them are, but they seem to be controlling things. From the lowest level to the highest level, in the public sector, the government, and in the private sector, all these idiot businesses out there, they are screwing you out of your life. You want to know how?
How are they doing it?
Do you feel like George Burns and Gracie Allen here, where Gracie gives the line and you come back with the straight line?
That's right. I remember that. These two.
We'll have to reverse that. They're doing it by eating up your minutes, seconds, minutes, sometimes hours. Frequently combine them all together, and they're actually eating up weeks by screwing up anything and everything, resulting in your having to fix it. Mm-hmm. So you're wasting your time. They're eating your life. They're eroding it. I have this vision of they or them with their paperwork and their your security questions. And they're fill this out and do this and jump over this little obstacle and climb through this hoop that if I were not being cremated and I was being buried in your typical coffin, as they're lowering it, I can see them now, bureaucrats, public and private, arms full of papers, asking questions, trying to open the coffin and stuff the last of it in before my final rest. So that's basically what we're discussing. Hold on a second. We have another quasi-producer telling me something. Yes? Oh, I was told that I'm breathing into the phone. That basically means that I'm clouding things up. So, Eric, your opinion, your personal life, share it with those six or eight listeners we have. Anything in the last day or week where you had to devote time because somebody didn't do something right? We're talking about a dentist, a gas station, registering your car, insurance, medical, ordering something from Best Buy, my favorite latest Target, anything at all.
Yeah, well, it's just like we're sailing in a sea of mediocrity. You know, there's so much of that going on. I went to get my P.O. box renewed the other day, and I had to fill out some special form. And I said, why do I have to do this? I've had this P.O. box for 15 years, and the guy said it was some kind of thing for terrorism. And I'm getting a P.O. box. You know, I wanted to just... I've had that thing for since 1994. I just wanted to get rid of it. I mean, they've got a log. They know who I am. I went there every time. I had to fill out a whole new form just to keep my P.O. box. That really meant.
Now, that's
me.
They or them.
Yeah, I
is
heard
your dog
going
to join the show? He's upset.
Well, they're all doing that now. You know, I heard this about this study one time they did with these monkeys where they put the monkeys in a cage and they had them on, you know, they put a tree in the middle of the cage and they put these bananas up at the top of the tree. And they would let the monkeys try and go get the banana, and then whichever one would try to go get it, they'd spray it with a fire hose to scare the monkey off. And the monkey would go back down, and what they would do is they found that the other monkeys would try to keep that monkey from going up and get it. Well, the zookeepers or whatever, they took out a different monkey each week and kept doing it until they had all the monkeys taken out that had ever seen the initial spraying with the fire, and those monkeys would still try to prevent the other ones from going. They didn't even know what they were preventing them from doing. It's kind of like what we're in now in society. It's just this mess.
What's the dog story in the background? Has he got a bitch, too?
Well, he likes to bark a lot at whatever's going on. He's real, and if, usually if he barks, it's something important.
Is that a supportive bark? Is he saying right on, or is he on the other side with the bureaucrats?
I think he's dissing them. He's tired of the mess.
When you get up in the morning, and I'm sure that people out there share the same thing, you might consider what I've been doing informally for a while, and I started somewhat formally recently tracking how much of my day is wasted, therefore my life. And being in business, I think it's a little higher than the person who has the daily grind of a job. And I estimate it currently at about 40% of my time is fixing things that are screwed up.
Right.
People are screwing me out of my time. Now, the person with the job probably has half of that, maybe 20%. The business person, 20% more. I was speaking with one of the gentlemen, the twins who run BBS Radio, Don or Doug. I confused them all the time. And he disagreed. He thought it was 60%. I think before people who are in their 40s today ever get to retire, they'll be devoting 60% of their time. But I'm going to suggest that they put a little sheet somewhere, maybe on the refrigerator, held with one of those little advertising magnets,
right,
and list the time that they spend correcting things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to lay one or two quick examples on you. We decided to change some homeowners insurance a few weeks ago, from Farmers to Allstate. I'll mention their names. They both seem like reasonable companies. And I went to the gentleman at Farmers, at Allstate, who is very well versed. He's 76 years old, been around a long time. And I said, okay, we're changing the insurance on the home. How long is it going to be before I get a notice by certified mail saying, the bank is accelerating my mortgage, I have to pay it off now, because I'm in breach of my mortgage contract by not having any insurance. And he said, oh, no, that won't happen. Now, I've had too many things happen in life. Maybe I'm Mr. Murphy's personal favorite target. But I knew better. Well, the first thing that happened is that Allstate sent me a letter congratulating me on joining them and being on their easy payment plan. So I called up my man at Allstate, Alvin, and I said, I'm not on an easy payment plan. They're paying. And in addition, I pay everything by the full term. So he went off to correct it. After that, I received a letter from the mortgage company saying that basically they couldn't comply with a request to pay anything to Allstate because of the fact they had already paid Farmers. So I called Alvin again, who informed me that he would correct that. Then Allstate sent me another congratulations on my easy payment plan and how I was going to use it. So I called Alvin again, and we've had two more incidents, and we're still in the middle of it with a request for someone else to call the mortgage company and give them permission to speak to somebody to do something about, and on and on and on. That's one of the typical. The other one that goes on in your life, which is screwing up by the government, seems to have something to do with my security. There seems to be two big interests of them in life when it comes to me. Number one is protecting me from something, and I haven't figured out what yet, quality security. And the other one is on the email. Someone has a terrific interest in my sexual life and ability from all over the world.
Yes, they do.
But I'm not going to get there. I wanted to just touch on this other one very quickly. I went to a dentist recently because they had a deal for $49. X-ray, teeth clean, so on and so forth. And they gave me a form, and I answered my name, which was good. And wanted to know if I was married or not, which I put down none of your business. And all kinds of things. Social Security, I gave them the last four numbers. Date of birth, I gave them the year. And my jockstrap size is my business, as is my wife's bra size. A bunch of other questions that had nothing to do with me cleaning my teeth or x-raying. They had a full page devoted to whether they're going to get paid or not.
Oh, my gosh.
And anyway, I walked up and handed it to the gal in the reception area, and she looked at it, and I could tell that she wasn't pleased that I didn't answer a lot of these questions. Then she asked me for my photo ID, my driver's license. And I asked her what model dentist chair they had. And she said, what? I said, what model is it? What year? And she said, what difference does that make? I said, well, evidently, if you want my driver's license and the only thing I'm going to be attached to is a dental chair, I assume that I have to drive it. And in order to drive it, I would like to know what damn year it is and what model it is. She said, well, you won't be driving it. And I said, then what the hell do you want my driver's license for? I give you $49, cash, check, credit card, debit card. You clean my teeth and take an x-ray. Well, it doesn't work. Well, then the hell with you. So I took my driver's license and told them that I would promise to floss my teeth and keep them clean using the driver's license, and I began to leave. And one of the customers or clients there looked at me and gave me a little sign and said, right on. So I stopped, and I said, what are you talking about, right on? He said, well, you really let them have it. And I said, but you're going to sit here and take it, aren't you, as are the rest of these people. I'm going to be the one nut. I said, so don't tell me right on unless you want to follow me out.
That's right.
And I left. So I think that the problem in America is everybody takes it.
Yep.
Now, Eric, do you take it?
No, but I've lost a lot of money fighting it. But it's, I believe in fighting. I believe you have to stand up. You know, it's dear to me that exactly what you're saying. I don't know if you heard about that, but a 7-year-old girl got arrested in Portland for the county health inspector shut down her lemonade stand. That's how bad it is. I'm not even making this up. It was in the news today.
No, I believe you.
How is that possible? You know, I mean, doesn't anybody have any kind of a, like, ability to, I don't know. It's all. There was another case here in Dallas where a 93-year-old woman got arrested in Highland Park, which is a really nice part of Dallas. You should live in Dallas. You know how nice that area is. And it was something where when it finally got to the judge, he was disgusted by it, and he said, why is this woman even in my courtroom, all this stuff? But she had spent a day in jail. And the police officer was, well, it was the law I had. He goes, don't you have any ability to discern? I mean, the judge got really mad at the police officer. This was just recently, too. 93.
Well, I think it has to do with something that is lost in America, and it's called discretion. I really think that that's the basic problem, that people cannot think for themselves. Discretion is defined as wisdom or good sense. I'd use common sense.
Uh-huh.
You know, a book was recently written by a physicist, and my son-in-law gave it to me to read. I didn't want to read it, and I was wondering why a physicist was writing about what was going to happen to America in the next first, second, and third century. And towards the end of the book, he made some comments about the what I call the education industry, who are part of they and them, failing to do their job and turning out, he didn't use these words, but basically functional morons in society today. Now, I'm not going to blame the education industry with their unions. I love their union names, National Education Association. You're a union. We know what you are. Don't disguise yourself. But it's also the parents, the culture. And again, the result of this ignorance, this lack of discretion, this lack of common sense. And in the book, I was surprised that with all the fancy, long words of the PhDs, at the end, he said, the last couple of generations have no common sense. If somebody didn't tell them to take their pants off before they went in the bathroom, they probably would just have to have a diaper.
Right, right.
Now, you may think that's an exaggeration, but when you stop and think about waste of time, I'll bore you with another story. I received a phone call when I returned from a trip about a year ago from the Las Vegas Athletic Club. Well, we happened to be in Vegas, and I received a phone call on a Saturday morning at 8:30. I don't know why so early on a Saturday, and a woman asked for me, and I identified myself, and she said she'd like to speak to me about my account.
Ah, your account.
And I knew that I had forgotten to make my monthly payment. So I said, okay, what about my account? And she said, well, I can't talk to you until you verify some information for me. So I said, look, lady, you called me. You got evidently my phone number from your records. You're looking at my name. You asked for me. Why should I prove who I'm talking to? She said, well, it's, and I hung up. I went back to doing whatever I was doing. A little while later, somebody else called and went through a long rigmarole, so I decided to play with them, and they said to me, we'd like you to verify some information. And I said, fine, give it to me. He said, well, you don't understand. You have to verify it. I said, I know that. I said, give it to me. And again, the guy said, and he's a manager, you don't understand. I said, of course I understand. You want me to verify. Verify means that you provide some type of data, body of information, and I attest to its integrity, credibility, truthfulness, correctness. Again, he said, no, you don't understand. So I told him to go home and tell his mother that she raised an idiot, and I hung up the phone. Now, all that, you may think that's insignificant, 2 or 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes. But that's my Saturday morning. And I got a little excited. That's my emotion. Maybe it burnt off enough blood vessels in my limited brain to make me die an hour or two early. Now, you multiply that as a businessman. I deal with 5 to 7 of those a day. I've been tracking it. You know, I could die 10 years early. For what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's what I'm trying to get people to start doing, is take a look at how they're stealing, robbing, screwing you out of your precious minutes. There's only one thing in life that can't be replaced, and that's life itself.
Yeah.
So what do we do about it?
Well, I think
if we have one of our dozen listeners should call in with a suggestion about now, so we don't have to listen to each other. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, you know, one of the things that you taught me years ago was how to be assertive. And I think that's what people need to learn, because the thing about being assertive is it won't get you your goal. I don't think that's the case. But what you kind of taught me is that it'll allow you to prevent other people from getting your goal. Because when you're dealing with all these morons that don't know anything about what they're selling or have any concept of customer service, or just like you talk about when you go out to a restaurant, you know, I can't even go to restaurants anymore, hardly, except a few, because the waiters are completely clueless. But the thing about being, you know, if people would learn to be assertive, they could get with a lot more effective use of their time and what they want in their life. And you had said something one time about if people would just do what they said they were going to do, when they said they were going to do it, how they said they were going to do it, it would overnight, the entire self-help industry and the psychology industry would be out of business.
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. What I said was that professional life and social life,
right,
if you learned at a very young age or at any age to only associate with people who, as you said, do what they say they're going to do, when they say they're going to do it, and how they say they're going to do it, you're going to eliminate currently in America about 90%, maybe 80% of all the people you're associating with, because they're a waste of your time.
Yeah.
Socially, I don't know how many times, and it seems to be increasing, because in my generation, way back, it wouldn't have happened. If you said, hey, Mikey, Saturday, 7 o'clock, we'll go to the dance, somebody would pop you if you didn't show up at 7 o'clock. They'd be in your face. I don't know how many times I've had, particularly women in my family, oh, the girls who are going out on Saturday night at 7, never hear from them. What happened? I had to feed my cat. I think it happens more with women because they are basically, here we're going to get into trouble, they are owned by men.
Right.
One of these days when we get into my audio seminar, this is a plug, how men get laid and women get screwed, we'll cover that, but a man crooks his little finger. I remember one day I had a gal who was my new secretary or assistant, and she was at a social function. She was about 20 years old, 21, and she was going to meet a date there, and she was with my family because her younger sister was attending a thing with a bunch of children. And all of a sudden, she was almost squirming like a little girl had to go to the bathroom. And I ignored it at first. I was finishing a conversation. Then I turned and I realized that her date was back there, and he had his finger crooked.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, so you know how direct I am. And I basically said, look, you know, knock it off. But, you know, that's her time. But anyway, women seem more prone, and many, many times you investigate, it's because at the last minute some man said, you know, I want you, I need you, come with me. And they just forget about it. Men basically also are guilty of not doing what they say, when they say, how they say. But I, at the risk of being labeled a male chauvinist, I don't think it's quite as frequently. I mean, it certainly is too much.
Yeah, men are a lot
not
more
as frequently.
Men are a lot more clingy than they used to be. I think they're the whole generation I grew up in. You know, everybody I went to high school with, none of those guys. We used to call them snakes in the grass. Nobody would do what they say. It was like this big thing, and I'd always disliked that. It was just the way it was. And when you told me that, you know, I started thinking about it a few years ago, and I was trying to think of all my friends, and I could only think of one handful of people that do what they say they're going to do, when they say they're going to do it, how they say they're going to do it. It was hard for me to think of anybody. I know about four people that do that.
No, well, you know, you wonder, are they this way with everybody? Are there whole groups of people out there, or do they have a special three or four that they do for? And that's all right, fine, then get the hell away from me. You take care of your three or four, they'll take care of you, you see.
Yeah.
But,
well, what I like about your method, and I kind of think what you're teaching, is there's two things you can control. You can always control how you treat somebody, but you can also control how you allow them to treat you. And I think that's where your stuff is really great, because people don't understand that. It can be that simple. You always have the control over how you treat somebody. But you also have a hell of a lot of control over what your boundaries are and how you allow somebody to treat you.
Well, what they're asking of you, they and them, today I went through the usual. First thing this morning, somebody asked me for, and I love this, my PIN number. I said, do you want both? They said, both of what? I said, well, PIN means personal identification number. I said, I have one of those, but if you want a personal identification number, which is what PIN number is, I said, then there's two numbers involved. The schmuck didn't get it.
I like to play with them when they ask me, you know, when they shorten it, and they'll say, you'll be at the bank, or you'll be somewhere, and they'll ask you about your social. You ever have them do that? What's your social? I'll tell them, I go out about three nights a week.
Ah, yes.
The indirect was
the same thing as when they ask on an application about sex, you say, yeah, once a month.
Yeah, once a month. Nearest relative, 14 miles. That's a good one.
Well, you know, again, you're wasting your time. They're wasting your life. Somebody just said to me, stop breathing into the phone. They're listening to me on the radio.
You know, these
are experimental shows. This is the third of four. We're learning what to do and what not to do. And for the few people that are listening, which we think will be increasing soon, sorry about that. They can call in and say the same thing. I mentioned on the last two shows that what we really want is people come in and give us information. What are they interested in? What do they want to know how to do? The last show was devoted to probably listing 50 or 60 of the topics that I've written on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think I'm so smart I make myself sick, and then other times I wonder if I get it at all. Have you ever had one of those days?
I have had those days.
But again, getting back to us being screwed, the problem I have is not so much with the ignorance. I mean, ignorance means, I'm getting a little technical here, basically lack of data or information. I don't know about it. Mm-hmm. When somebody attempts to supplant, add some information, push out the ignorance, usually I'll look at it and say, I wonder if that has credibility. Let's check that out. I try to fight, and I'm not successful all the time, with the normal, at least American, I don't know about overseas, reaction, which is to deny and defend. I was talking to a fellow today with my usual complaint that his website sucked. I was trying to purchase something, and I couldn't find out anything. Yeah. And he got upset at me. Yeah. We get 30 calls a day. I said, how do you know you wouldn't be getting 60 or 90 if you opened your mind and shut down that idiocy. So, no, he yelled at me. He was a Texan, a boy from Texas. And I said, you know, if you want to set the stage for failure, I remember one of my daughters coming home one day from grammar school with a C, and I said, you got a C. And they immediately said, well, Celia got a D. Well, that's setting the stage. Let's look at the lowest level. Let's look at the flunky, the loser.
Right.
Look at America today. It's amazing. Again, we're going to call this, Eric, the CTF, the crap tolerance factor.
Okay.
How much crap are people willing to put up with in their daily life?
Well, I think they're so dumbed down and so asleep quite a bit until somebody. That's why so many people snap. You know, when you see these people or just lose it. My mom had a friend that worked at the bingo place that my mom works at in Houston. It's like at a fraternal Czech organization. And, you know, one of the ladies is a good lady, and her mom was really ill and had all these bills, and it just kept piling up, and they couldn't get, you know, the right medical help and all that stuff. And she went and robbed a bank and got caught, a 58-year-old woman, just to try and help her mom. You know, it's crazy.
By the way, this is for Seth, the producer. Somebody named Rockabilly Gypsy just tweeted through to one of our sites asking what should you do if you don't want to give a doctor your Social Security number, and she tweeted because she couldn't get through by phone. I'll check to make sure that the correct numbers were given out. But Seth, in the meantime, if you can see if there's any problem or it's routine, you know. Just a minute. What? Okay. Now, we're not very professional here, Eric, but what the hell? We don't want to sound like everybody else, right?
That's right, and we're also tweaking the show, and we're doing it live, and it's real, and it's authentic. So you get to hear all the good stuff.
Oh, okay. I asked the producers, you know, what do we say to get thrown off the air? And they said practically nothing because it's the Internet. The Big Daddy doesn't have control yet. Big Daddy is screwing us.
Oh, yeah.
And people say to me all the time, who is Big Daddy? They run around talking about we're a Nazi government, we're communism, we're socialism. These days we're Muslimism, whatever that is. They're all afraid of Obama. Well, I want to touch on that for a minute. You know, he's the prez. I don't like him. There's nothing I like about him.
Right.
But trying to be a well-balanced person, I am a little excited. First of all, for some reason, they went after his wife. Oh, my God, she's wearing shorts. So what? She's got the legs for it. Let her wear it. I've seen some stuff at Walmart in shorts that I really don't want to see.
Yeah.
You know, as my youngest son once said, spandex is not a right, it's a privilege. But anyway, and then they're bothering her about this and that. Look, she's the president's wife. Leave her alone.
Yeah, leave her alone.
I hated Clinton, but when they went after his daughter, I went to his defense for whatever that's worth. I can't stand that. But we don't have Big Brother, 1984 by Orwell aside. We don't, my opinion. If you really view it, Eric, we have Big Daddy. We are nothing but children. And he will punish us if we don't follow his rules, regardless of how stupid, superfluous they are, irrelevant. He won't send us to our room or put us in prison.
Yeah.
He'll take away our toys, otherwise known as asset forfeiture. Hi, we've got your house, your car, your family. And, of course, he'll spank you. In the case of cops, that these days seems to be putting a bullet in your head or something similar. But the point is, if you view it more as Big Daddy, authoritarian government. I think it was 20 years ago I wrote, listen for the word authority. It's going to be substituted by those bouffant Bettys, those charming chimpanzees that sit on television and the media types, you know, $2-3 million a year to sit there and read, and they can't pronounce half the words, okay? They're screwing you, okay? Because they are basically the mouthpiece for Big Daddy. And Big Daddy has the right, which he's taken, to screw you in a bunch of different ways. Now, you personally, without getting into detail, went through Big Daddy and the cops many years ago, did you not?
Oh, yeah. I've even had to fight the corporate Big Daddies, you know, just trying to start a small band and all those different kinds of things. And, you know, the nail.
Well, if I remember right, your one session with the cops, you were had to prove you were perfectly innocent of something.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
Which you turned out to be. The other party was nuts.
Yeah.
And it cost you most of your life savings. Is that
yep.
not true?
Yep, sure did.
So again, you were screwed big time by them and they.
Well, you know,
now, did any
thing.
Of those cops working overtime, or those prosecutors or anybody else, lose anything? No.
No, I walked
you
in.
What?
I walked into Dick DeGaren's office. It was the real good quality attorney down there in Houston. He actually represented the Branch Davidian guy in that case.
What's his name?
Dick DeGaren. He's a hell of an attorney. And I walked into his office, and I was going to have a meeting with him about my case, and he just looks at me, and first words he said to me, he goes, "You're a target. You got a target on your back." He goes, "Anytime you're trying to do something, you're a musician, you're a target." He goes, "You just need to remember that, you're a target." And this, you know, if you try to do something in this country, yeah, you're a target. I mean, if you want to, you know, work at a Walgreens and hide and just have a real safe job and don't ever do anything, you'll probably be all right. But if you try to do something in this country, you get a target real quick.
Well, just a minute. I got handed another note. What was that last note? Oh, anybody who wants to tweet can tweet me under John Lyonson. That's all I have to put on is John Lyonson. I don't know how to tweet. I never wanted to be a sparrow.
And another thing they can do when they're tweeting is they can hashtag the subjects that you're talking about, and people can search.
Well, I'm sure that whoever is out there that can tweet all the Robins and Wrens and so on will know what you're talking about. Also, they can tweet you under Eric Keyes, E-R-I-C-K-E-Y-E-S.
That's right. And when they
now, I'm reaching a point where I'm feeling that I'm boring, so it's up to you.
They can also send us a twit.
Send a what?
I think a twit is what
your phone is breaking up, Eric.
Is it?
Yep.
Can you hear
I don't
me
know
now?
If mine is just a minute. Is he breaking up on the air? Say something so that they can monitor you.
Hello there. Can you hear me nice and clear?
That I heard nice and clear, but before I'm getting clipped.
Okay, because I can hear you real good.
Oh, well, I can't hear you real good because I'm hard of hearing, but at any rate, I'm getting boring here. I don't know. We've covered many aspects of how you get screwed. I guess to sum it up is just watch every day how much time there is. It seems like the old geometric law, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line.
Right.
And you can't get today from A to B in a straight line. Let me comment on something. I was wondering why the acceleration during the last three generations, probably guys your age, starting at your age and forward, why the deterioration of the culture, the intelligence, the discretion, the common sense, anything you look at as being smart, the sharp move, has accelerated exponentially. Wow, I can't get that one out today. Downward, because every generation seems to, and probably is accurate, be less than the last generation. A couple of months ago, I read a critique, a complaint, a bitch, by a drill instructor with the United States Army complaining about the recruits he was getting into boot camp lacked any moral fiber. They were stupid beyond belief, couldn't put one foot in front of the other, were pampered, babied, weaklings, zeros. And that was written in 1942.
Wow.
So it's been going on a long time. But even that book I read by the physicist stated that it's accelerated recently, and yes, the education industry being populated by many, many, many teachers who have a four-year degree in teaching, but no degree in any subject. How do you teach math just because you've been taught how to teach? The parents, the vocabularies have deteriorated down from whatever it is by a good percentage. The use of generalized guttural words help screw you. Done and go and gut just drive me crazy. And if you use them, I'll pick you up on it. And if I use them, I expect to be picked up on it.
Well, the three.
When somebody says to me, I got, I don't know what that means, Eric, so it's a waste of my time. Did you steal it, blackmail it, appropriate it, find it, have it, purchase it, you see? And they're even doing it, we are accepting it by the commentators on television.
What's the other two?
So getting
got?
Back, oh, go ahead. What's that?
What's the other two besides got?
Well, you got gotten, gotten. Ah, it's gotten better. How about it became better? It progressed, whatever. Done. Done. I always think of myself on a spit being roasted. How about completed, terminated, finished? So as the entire culture moves downward, it's not the fault of the individuals being ignorant, as I said. What I have a problem with is when it is brought to their attention that there's some attempt, hopefully in a tactful manner, to replace that ignorance with intelligence. Intelligence basically means data.
Yeah.
What's that? Did somebody say something?
Caller on line three.
Pine tree?
Line three.
Oh.
Caller on line three.
Oh, okay. What does that mean to us? I don't know a darn thing about this. Who's the caller? Hello? What's that? Eric, are you there?
I'm here. Let's put the caller through.
Oh, are we supposed to tell somebody to do that?
I think so.
Is there a caller on the line, or did they leave?
They haven't left. Never mind.
Ah, they left.
Oh, we
well,
had
those things happen. Anyway, let me get back to this point and speed it up because I'm getting boring here, and I expect a caller to call in and say you're boring. Here's what we determined. My neighbor was mentioning the fact that his kids were brought up on MTV, and they've performed some research, or they've got some research, whichever way you want, but they performed research. For those of you who don't know what performed means, go to a dictionary and look it up. That indicates that when people are sitting there hour after hour watching these images jump back and forth, that it deteriorates or diminishes their ability to focus or concentrate. That was the beginning. The next group on the computers before the internet were the maze games, where you didn't go from a straight line from point A to point B. You had to go through mazes and find things and where's Waldo and all this type of thing. Last is the fact that when they started with the Dungeons and Dragons and things, where you had to surmount obstacles. And what happened is, as each generation was exposed to this, and the number of things mounted, that they were exposed to, and the age dropped down to pre-reasoning age. It has now become part of their mindset, their brain's function, to expect a high level of crap to do something simple because it's ingrained in them. We have to go through a maze. We can't really focus. We can bounce around, and we have to go over obstacles. So not only is the person being serviced or purchasing or whatever adjusted to that, they are also now migrating through age into the people who are designing the systems, and I think that's the problem. Now, I've just been handed a note to shut up because there are people waiting to talk to us.
Okay.
So I'm shutting up, and whoever wants to speak to us, speaketh. Dead time.
I don't hear anybody.
I don't hear anybody. Who's that?
We have no callers holding at the moment.
Just a minute. There are no callers holding. Why am I getting notes?
People are tweeting me telling you you have people that they're on hold.
Oh, because we're getting tweets that people are on hold. So I have no idea what's going on. Anyway, if you want to buy into that, I do, that the last three generations, it's accelerated because of those three factors. Maybe there's others, I don't know. And you're absolutely right, Eric. You should become more assertive, but don't do it with a guy in a uniform with a gun. He's a paid, uniformed government employee, although today they're all heroes. I look at firemen as being the ultimate hero. Don't mess with them. They have been known to shoot people.
Yep.
Oh, back away from them.
I think a lot of it, also today has to do with, as far as men, we'll address women in a minute, but I think there's a whole generation that was raised by their mothers because, you know, their father, they didn't have a strong father at home, or he was working. So there's a lot of men who just never learned how to be men and never be assertive and never, you know, really have a good, strong work ethic and not do those things that you know, when you were working on a farm, you had to help your dad.
You sound like you're breaking up again. Is he breaking up? No, you're not. It must be me. Well, the point is that women basically, feminism came on. And I think feminism had something to do with the female accepting being screwed. I kind of imagine it this way, and I'm going to catch a lot of flack for this. Memphis, Tennessee. Okay, somebody wants to talk to you, Eric. Say hello.
Hello there.
Eric, how are you? My name is Janice from Memphis, Tennessee, and I've been listening to this radio show for the last 3 weeks. I really enjoy listening to John, but I had a question on insurance companies screwing you. Are you available to answer?
Shoot.
You have to ask
first. My mother lives in Southern... Hello?
Hello.
My mother lives in... Hi, John. How are you, Tasmanian Devil? My mother lives in Southern California, and she lives on a canyon, say, for instance. Now, she's been with an insurance company for about 20 years, and all of a sudden, she said last year, I won't name the insurance company, will not renew her insurance policy because she lives on a canyon. What can you do about that?
Punt. Okay, this is a trick question. You're being screwed by an insurance company. They don't want to renew. I'm going to have to ask one of the consumer attorneys about. So if you leave your contact information with Seth, I guess that's what he does. If he doesn't, he'll sure tell me.
Okay.
And I'll check with one of the consumer attorneys specializing in insurance tomorrow, and we'll get back to you. Okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'll leave the information with
Steph.
No problem.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I pay those people, you know. $2 here, $3 there, it all adds up.
Adds up.
Adds up, yes. But getting on to women being screwed, and it's in his plug again in the book, How Men Get Laid and Women Get Screwed. Feminism, I view it as the men had a low moral level. The women had a high moral level.
Right.
The feminists came along and said, we want to be equal. I assumed at the time that they were going to force men to come up to their moral level. I never dreamed that they were just going to jump down and be at the low level of men, which they did, and now they're equal. The analogy I use is in the old days, you would take a lady by the hand and walk her across the street to make sure she wasn't run over by some madman in an automobile. You would walk on the outside, so in case, as the original reason for that was, a horse came by and splashed, it would splash you, not her. And you would open the door and let her through so that she didn't have to put her purse down and go through anything. And then you would try to screw her. Today, that's all changed. You let her go across the street, whether she gets run over or not, you don't care. If she gets splashed by the horse, you don't care. You let the door slam in her face and you try and screw her. Yeah, they've come a long way towards equality. Now, that goes back to the crap level tolerance. They will put up with that crap. They've been conditioned to it.
Yep.
When are they going to stop and say, wait a minute, I ain't giving you nothing know-how.
Yep.
Now, you, of all people, I'm going to ask you a trick question. What's your view of that? You've been around ladies a long time. You used to be the lead guitarist in a band, and they were throwing themselves at you. Do you agree with that or not?
I do. I completely agree on the feminism angle, and I think, like we were talking about with the monkeys earlier, you know, now women are bringing home these boys and trying to make them into men and trying to fix them up, and it's like, why don't you just get a real man and have a real baby rather than getting a boy that you got to take care of, because, you know, he ain't got to do nothing for you. But even the women are doing that. You know, I see it now where they're almost like mothering these boys, and because there's no men out there, and now a woman doesn't even know what that is. You know, it's the monkeys again. They wouldn't know it if they saw it. They just, like a cultural, you know, like, hey, with a backwards hat and the sideways hat and the pants down to your knees, and it's those things are found attractive now. You know, if you don't have your pants hung down or sideways, young women don't find that attractive. And that's awful.
Well, you know, I'll throw in a quick little theory here. I call it the throwback theory. There's two views on society. One is that we progress and increase our civilization and our through the use of engineering technology. It's the engineers that do it. And the other one is that basically we climb onwards and upwards on the backs of our neurotics and psychotics. I'm in both categories, neurotic and psychotic, so I'm carrying some of society. And I'm kind of in the engineering business, so that's the other. And engineering's goal, as I was taught when I was very young, is to make things, considering their form, fit, and function, easier to use, smaller, quicker, slicker, cheaper.
Yeah.
And when you give an individual something that has some type of form, fit, and function designed for a particular use, and they reverse it, then they're a throwback. There's something wrong with their brain. I remember once walking around Texas at a park, and the sun was very bright, and all these young idiots and some older idiots are walking around with their hat on backwards and holding their hand over their eyes to shade their eyes from the sun. And I'm thinking, hey, jerks, if you can't tell your butt from your face, turn your face, your cap around. The latest thing I've seen is, I don't know why they walk around trying to hold their latessables in their hand, but they seem to have one hand holding their latessables. You know, now, you may not like that, but understand, they're being screwed.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere has talked them into buying ridiculous clothes that they can't even walk in, that have no value from a protective function. And they've spent their money paying probably three or four times as much. So, again, they're being screwed. It all falls into the category of being screwed.
Yeah, that's a great analogy because, you know, when the kids are going out and paying $200 for a pair of Air Jordan shoes, and it's just a bunch of crap, you know, and it's, they don't need it, and it's not, especially if you look at some of the cultures that get caught up into that, buying all those material things, you know, if someone would teach them that you become a slave to those things, and then some other kid jumps you and rips you off for it, and why do you even want to be in that circle, you know? Why wouldn't you want to be a strong individual, a self-made individual, somebody who had character and moxie, like you like to say? You know, that doesn't come from walking around like some kind of idiot like that, and that's because there's no man in his life to show him what to do. You know, it's ridiculous. It's crazy.
Okay, I just got another note that calls are coming in and the line's busy. I gave them the toll-free and three others, so we're going to have to check that later and see how we can get around that. No, you're absolutely right about that, and we got to wrap this up. I think it's getting to the end. But the fact is that everybody's being screwed, and inadvertently we do things that are stupid, that waste people's time, but at least if you admit it, that's the number one thing, would be admit it. Don't go to automatic denial. I received emails about, I think BBS puts out a great product, this little radio show, great product, but as with most of the people out there, this is my personal thing, 99% of them or more. And as you pointed out, 99% of the websites don't even pay their hosting cost. The fact is that regardless of how the how much you basically fight the system, the culture, you know, it's going to wear you down eventually. And today, there's just, I don't know, I'm not giving up on it at all. I'm just saying that people have to start looking at what they're doing and say, why in hell are you doing it? Back in my generation, there was a saying all the time, MYOB, mind your own business.
Yeah.
Somebody comes and says, what's your Social Security number? What are you, writing a book? Leave this chapter out. I think people have to do much, much more of that. So at any rate, how much time we got, Seth? 2 minutes? 1 minute? And also, people want to know if you're going to co-host the show again.
I'd love to. Hopefully we can get those callers to call in.
1 minute.
Well, we're having some type of a problem. Oh, I know what I was going to say before I get off, which will piss off both the Bobbsey twins. I've criticized their website because websites suck. And when you go to a website, to their particular website, they have a dynamite product, and I've told them there's only three reasons people go. Hi there. I'd like to listen to live radio. Where do I click? Secondly is, hi there. I'd like to look at some of these old shows. Where do I find them? By A, the talk show host, B, the date, C, the topic. And thirdly, hi, I'd like to be on the radio. How do I do that? Now, if you go to their website, which is typical, there's probably 50, 60, 70 places to click. It's mind-boggling. But this generation is used to this technology, and when you were talking about the people basically having too much of this, too much of that, technology is way past the point of anything. There's a hole in my bedroom wall where I threw a phone last week, a brand new phone, because I picked it up for the first time, and my thumb and forefinger, I do have an opposing thumb, which denotes some degree of intelligence with it, brushed against the damn camera, and the other one against the speaker. So instead of picking up the phone, I turned those things on. $180 right through the wall. It's stupid. So let's get the crap tolerance level down, people. Let's stop it. Now, where's Seth to tell us that we're off the air?
CTL.
Okay. I'm going to give you the only words I'm going to say before Seth cuts the button at the end of this sentence. I got to go.